the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in. When God the mighty maker died for his own creature's sin, thus might I hide my blushing mine eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself
. We stand and follow the order of holy absolution and confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. For his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness.
You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame?
How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself.
The Lord hears when I call to him.
Be angry and do not sin.
Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices.
And put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, who will show us some good?
Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.
You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit,
one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 26, beginning at verse 8. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. And the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves a sentence of death because he has prophesied against the city, as you have heard with your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the verse.
These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I'll finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The congregation may be seated.
Savior and my fount of grace.
The text for this morning's sermon is from our reading from Philippians chapter 3. I reread some of those verses. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Pretty quickly in my ministry, the first couple of years, I came to have a kind of a rule for myself for sermons, and that is if one of the readings had a maybe difficult passage to understand or to interpret or to apply, I would preach on that one. And I don't always follow my rule because sometimes I have something set or it's a little sermon series or something like that. But I think, at least in my ministry, it's been very important. Because if it's difficult for me to sort out, then it must be difficult for a lot of people maybe listening or attending church too. And so it's my job to help us understand harder passages. This passage, as I'm sure you felt second time reading it, maybe the third time reading it, is a very, very hard passage. This term, enemies of the cross, is not a gentle saying. This is straight law. Enemies of the cross of Christ means an enemy of Christ, period. And Paul says they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, and he says, and as I tell you this with tears. He's not happy to say this. This is such a hard saying. And I think it's good for us to think about this and also what he says in the following verses. And one thing to help us think through scriptures is this distinction of law and gospel. And I have that in the first page of the notes. There's many pages, but it's going to go pretty quickly. We see that there's two main teachings in Scripture, God's law and God's gospel. The law in God's word shows us our sins. That's the law, S-O-S. Law shows our sins. We often try to hide from God's law, hide from God that we did something wrong. That's what Adam and Eve did. They tried to hide from God. Or we change God's law, or we ignore God's law. We do a lot of different things. But no one can hide. I have a passage, a quote from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Paul said, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God." No excuses, no hiding, mouths stopped. And the whole world is accountable to God. He continues, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." The law shows our sin. "You shall have no other gods before you." Whenever we value something or think something's more important than God, we've broken the first commandment. And so all the commandments we break frequently, every day. And we are held accountable before God on that basis, on the basis of the law. The whole world is. Nobody can hide. The gospel teachings in the scriptures, in God's word, shows us our Savior. The gospel points out, look to Jesus. Jesus has done this for you. In Jesus, our sins are forgiven and forgotten, gone. And God remembers, because of his Son, our sins no more. And this distinction between law and gospel is very important. Because God's law, which is holy and perfect, has us look at what we are and are not, what we have done. It has us to look to ourselves. And also the law, through the law, we look to others and their sins. Look to people. We see sinners. But the gospel takes our look away from ourselves and a look from others and to look to Jesus. I should look at the cross, look to Jesus. And the gospel says, see your sins, stop looking at them. Look at Jesus, God's forgotten them. Forgiven, forgotten. And as we witness to others, the gospel witness to others is to look to Jesus. Your sins are forgiven, forgotten. Very familiar passage that is clear in the gospel is from John 3:16, and 17 is clear too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You hear that? Who believes in him. Not believes in me or how good I'm doing, but believes in Christ. There is eternal life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Christ, what was his first words on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That was his mission, to forgive. And he's the one that speaks forgiveness from the cross, and we look to him. That's the gospel. To get to our passage, there is an eternal relationship with Jesus. And the relationship with Jesus is either through the law or through the gospel. Every human being, either through the law or through the gospel. And what Paul says here in this passage in Philippians 3, there are those who are enemies of the cross. They're unbelievers. And God does not finally, in eternity, view us on this or that only, and on our relationship with him. Are we forgiven in Christ, or are we not forgiven in Christ? That is it. And if you're not forgiven in Christ, from what the world says is the greatest sinner to the least sinner, none of that. No matter what the world says, you're not forgiven in Christ. This is a relationship of God through the law, because we don't have Christ, and it only shows our sins. And I don't have Christ to cover my sins. So how does God see me as a sinner if there is no Christ? 2 weeks ago in Bible class, We looked at Matthew chapter 25, which Jesus talks about what judgment day, the last day, is going to be like. And I reread a couple of the verses out of Matthew chapter 25, verses 37 through 40, and then 44 through 46. And Jesus said, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" The relationship to the child of God is to God, is to the Son of God, Christ. If we are in Christ, he does not see or forgive our sins. They are forgiven, they are forgotten, gone. But if we're not in Christ, then it's only sins that show. I continue at verse 44 for Matthew 25. "Then they also will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in a prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Our lives are in a relationship or not with Jesus Christ. That's what counts. Is the gospel in our life or not? Do we know our sins are forgiven and forgotten in Christ? Or in unbelief, do we hide our sin or hide from God or change God's word or whatever? But we hide from Christ. Then all that remains is our sins. And this shows up. Jesus says, this is how it will be at the end. When he judges, were you one of mine and you did it to me? Or you did not believe, and all I see is your sin. And that's the toughness of the law, because it shows our sins. And so this phrase, walk as enemies of Christ, because they are not in Christ, and their sins are not forgiven. A believer, a Christian, is a sister or brother with Christ. And a Christian's sins are forgiven and forgotten and gone. God does not see our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ. And as a forgiven Christian then, we also then want that for all people, for one another, and for all people. God's reality is, because of my Son, Jesus Christ, you are a holy daughter. You are a holy son in the name of Jesus. That is reality. And God has given the church, the office of pastor, to speak this reality to all the people of the church. When I say at the beginning of the service, and I want to get the words exactly right, so I'm going to look at them. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is God's reality. And the reality is, your sins are forgiven. And that's a blessed thing to hear. And we want others' sins forgiven as well. So Paul is not happy to say that others are enemies of the cross because of their unbelief. He says it with tears. But he doesn't want to hide the fact of unbelief. It's true. There's unbelief. And he's reminding them of that. But he has reminded them so much more that their sins are forgiven. I have written down there Jesus' words from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is our reality. The passport. Paul says in our reading from Philippians chapter 3, but our citizenship is in heaven. And he means very much what we understand citizenship to be, because it meant the same. A Roman citizenship was important to the people of Philippi. A citizen of Rome meant that you have Roman rights. Rights as a Roman citizen, you have special protections. And if you read Acts carefully, you'll see that Paul was a Roman citizen and he called upon his Roman citizenship to take advantage of his situation. You can't prosecute, you can't whip me without a trial. Don't you dare whip me without a trial. I'm a Roman citizen. All the more, our citizenship is in heaven. And Paul wants the people of Philippi, the Christians in Philippi, to understand how much they value their Roman citizenship. They are actually eternally citizens of heaven. And it's interesting because he says, and from it we wait a Savior. We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Savior and Lord in the Greek were two titles given to the emperor, the Roman emperor, Savior and Lord. And so Paul is saying to them, our citizenship is in heaven, and we're waiting for our Savior and Lord, our Emperor. And he's making a direct correlation as you value your Roman citizenship, all the more you are citizens of heaven. As much as I value and protect this thing, it's always got locked up, this passport. You can steal $100, $1,000, or $5,000, but don't steal my passport. All the more, our citizenship is in heaven, and Christ is the passport. He is the way. He has paved the way. Our sins are gone. He has declared us brothers and sisters of the divine Heavenly Father, and we are citizens of heaven. That's the gospel. And Paul says there in verse 21, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself? You Christians, you don't look so different. You get sick like me. You have problems like me. I don't see what's so special about being Christian, some people might say. Paul says, we're waiting for our Lord and Savior, who will transform this lowly body into a glorious body. You're right, on the outside, I don't look so different. But I'm looking to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that's different. And he is going to change everything. He has changed everything and will change everything. So the words and law, enemies of the cross, is very tough. But the gospel that overcomes all words of the law is, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we turn to Christ, and those sins are forgotten, forgiven, gone, and we're citizens of heaven. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for these teachings from St. Paul. Help us to understand more and more every day in our lives how by the law we can't justify ourselves. Our own works will never be good enough. But by the gospel, the good news of Jesus, we look and turn to him, and the sins are gone. And you declare us your sons and daughters. Help us, Lord, to live according to the gospel. Help us to share this gospel message with others and encourage others to look to Christ. And help us never to lose the faith, never have Satan fool us. We don't want to lose our passport, Lord. We want to be with you in heaven. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the offering hymn, Eternal Spirit of the Living Christ, and during the last verse of that offering hymn, the offering will be brought forwards.
Help us neither scorn nor death to heed, that we may not falter nor courage fail us when the foe shall taunt and assail. Us, Jesus Christ, to know aright, that we may abide in the Lord who bought us, till to our true home he has brought us.
We stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, see how many still walk as enemies of the cross of Christ and face destruction. Make known your mercies in Christ, that they may repent and become citizens of your kingdom. Protect your people from their evil intentions, and grant that we would follow the example of the apostles who willingly suffered wrong to make Jesus known. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember the households of this congregation, O Lord. Provide help and companionship to those who live alone, and foster love between husbands and wives, parents and children, that our homes would not be places to glory and shame or set our minds on earthly things, but a refuge here and a foretaste of our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember our nation and those who have placed in authority, O Lord. Give them wisdom and integrity, and grant that neither they nor the citizens of our land would hinder your church or despise your call to repentance. Give comfort to all who are injured, wandering as refugees and mourning because of war and violence. Grant peace and healing to the nations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember the sick and afflicted, O Lord. We remember Margaret and Charlotte, Loretta, Carlin, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary Ellen, Lynn, Sue, Martin, Norm, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shivey, and Pastor Berlin. Deliver them for the sake of Christ, who cast out demons and perform cures on his way to finish his course at the cross. Strengthen their faith to hold fast to him who rose again to raise them also. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, we deserve nothing but judgment and disaster for our sins. Open our eyes so that we do not take your wrath lightly, but strive by your grace to mend our ways and our deeds. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son suffered the reproach of mankind, even as he bore all of our sins to the cross. Strengthen us gladly to bear reproach in your name, and boldly to declare your salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We sing our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the
bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Take root, spread.